Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thanks a lot, Mark, and thanks for checking out this podcast at HoustonTexans.com, the 2010 Path to the Draft, sponsored by Fox Sports Houston. We're in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's the Saturday of the Combine, and we're with Daniel Jeremiah of MoveTheSticks.com. Daniel, you used to scout for both the Ravens and the Browns. You've been in the league for about a decade and do great stuff on the web. First of all, what's your impression of this year's draft? What are the strengths overall?
I think it's a really good draft. I think it's got a lot of depth. I think when you look at the defensive line position and the offensive tackle position, that could take up almost half of the first round. I think we're going to see over 10 of those guys go. So that's really deep there. And I think it doesn't have quite the star power at corner, but I think there's, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 guys that are going to kind of go off before we get to the third round. It's just going to be a run of them, I would anticipate, probably around the start of the second round. It's really a good draft.
Just about every team could stock up on an offensive lineman or defensive lineman every single year, no matter how good they are. That's especially the case for the Houston Texans. What do you see them doing in that first round, in that second round, in that third round to bolster those ranks, and do you see them going elsewhere as well?
Well, I think they're going to have a lot of opportunities, and I think you also look at a safety. If they want another safety to put back there next to Pollard, they're going to have a chance with a guy like Earl Thomas, who will probably be there, and he's somebody that could play corner as well if they want to slide somebody down there. When you're talking about the offensive line, I'd be a little bit concerned. Don't buy this Bruce Campbell. Don't hop on that express train that's leaving the station right now with his unbelievable workout. The tape doesn't quite match up, so I'd be a little concerned there.
Is he a little smaller than people thought, too?
Campbell, I think he was pretty big. I mean, he was kind of a giant. He just ran 4.78. At 300 plus pounds, and he's going to jump and do all that great stuff, but it doesn't help him pick up a twist when you watch him on tape. So there's a little bit of concern there, but nonetheless, there's going to be a lot of tackles to choose from. I think when you look at the defensive side of the ball, if they want a big interior player, a guy like Dan Williams, you got Odrick, the guy from Penn State who's climbing up people's boards. I personally love the kid from UCLA, Price, is a stud. And some people that aren't as high on him maybe compare him to a Moby Okoye, but I think he's a much better player coming out.
How come?
Well, I think you see him, he's more productive, uses his hands better, he's more of a skilled player. Not just the ability, he knows how to play the game. And Okoye was just more raw, and he's an athlete, but it was going to take a lot of time to get him developed, and I think Price is far more advanced in the process right now.
How high could you see him going?
I think higher than people think. I think you could see him end up going in the top 15 when it's all said and done. I think there's just a chance that you're going to see a run on these D linemen early, and it's going to start, it's a very good chance, it could start with the first two picks.
If you had to compare him to Dan Williams, how much better is he? How much worse is he? And then let's add in a third part of the equation. What about Terrence Cody? He's slimmed down a little bit.
No, good for him. He's slimmed down. People always ask you who had the most to win and who had the most to lose. And I said Cody had the most to lose, but that was a win. So he did a good job getting down to 354. We'll see where he is at his pro day. You got to keep monitoring somebody with that kind of issue. So I think it'd be a little bit early for him at that point in time. I think the 3-4 team is going to have a lot more value to them. Just a space eater. Doesn't have a lot of lateral range. He's not going to be a factor in the pass game. He's a two-down defender. So I think if he can continue to help himself in the weight department, he could climb into the bottom of the first round. But, I don't really see him being an option for the Texans where they are.
And then as for the Williams-Price comparison, where do you see that stacking up?
Well, Williams is a stronger run defender. He's got a bigger base. He's going to be more attractive to those 3-4 teams. And Price has the ability to get upfield. And I think he'd be a better fit in a 4-3 scheme where he can rush the passer. He can shoot gaps and make plays. He's going to have big tackle for loss numbers at the next level because of his quickness. I don't think he's quite as strong to sit in and anchor those two blockers like you have to do in a 3-4. That's where Williams has a little bit of an edge.
Okay, I want to get back to the Price argument in just a second, but you mentioned Earl Thomas. Where does he stack up? How important is the combine for him?
Well, I think it's important for him for the teams that view him as a corner, and I know there's several teams that have him as their second corner in this draft. So if for those that have him at corner, you want to see him run. You want to see him run in the 4.4s. You want to see him under 4.5 for sure. That'll help his cause at that position. As a safety, it's going to be interesting to just see how big he is because he does not look big on tape. And with these juniors, you never know until you get them on the height weight in Indianapolis how big they are. So it'll be interesting to see how big he is. But I think he's a fantastic floating free safety that can make plays. When you have a physical player like Pollard who's kind of your big hitter and your enforcer over the middle, now you put a floater next to him that can play the ball really well. It would be a nice combination for the Texans.
How nice do you think that would be? What would that allow the defense to do?
Well, I think it just frees up your corners, because you have these help over the top. It really fuels an aggression in your cornerbacks to know, hey, I can play a little more aggressive because I got some help over the top. And this guy's kind of a vacuum in the back end. The ball comes up in the air, he can go get it. And when I was in Baltimore, we had a guy like that in Ed Reed. And when we had Chris McAllister at the peak of his career, he was so big and strong and physical, and yet he could play aggressive. We allowed him to do that because Ed could clean up the mess if something happened.
So with that in mind, how similar, how close in talent do you think Thomas is to Ed Reed?
Well, I would compare Eric Berry from Tennessee more to Ed. I think Ed is a stronger, he's a little bit bigger, a little stronger than Thomas. And playmaking-wise, in terms of playing the ball, Thomas does an excellent job. Ed Reed's probably in a class all by himself, maybe in league history in terms of playing over the top, so I wouldn't quite put him up there. But just in terms of playmaking, getting the ball, and in Baltimore, we always tried to focus on these DBs. We want playmakers. We want guys to pick off the ball. We want to see what they do with it. These guys score touchdowns, and Thomas, when you watch him on tape, he gets the ball, and he takes it the other way. He's been pretty productive, which is always a pretty good sign this guy's going to be a playmaker at the next level.
Okay, so let's say for argument's sake, both Earl Thomas and Brian Price are available at number 20, and the Texans stay at 20. They don't move up or down in the draft. Who would you take?
Well, I think with some of the investment they've made in the D-line, I think I probably would go back to the secondary and just get your safety, get a playmaker back there. Your front seven is in pretty good hands with three or four of those guys you got up there right now, especially now you got the emergence of Cushing, you got Mario Williams. You spend the big money on the kid from Arizona, Smith, to get over there. So I think I would make a little bit of investment in that back end.
Did Cushing surprise you what he did this year?
He was one of my highest-rated players coming out last year. I mean, I just the question with him was durability. Can he stay healthy? But when he does stay healthy at USC, you saw him play over the tight end at Sam. You saw him play in the middle at Mike. He could do everything. He could blitz. He was strong at the point of attack. He was excellent in pass coverage. I mean, people didn't realize he played with a broken hand at USC that last year. When you watch him on tape, he might have had five interceptions, but he couldn't catch because he had a cast on his hand. So he's been a playmaker, and I think that the good thing for him and the Texans, he's been able to stay healthy.
You mentioned that durability. That's one of the many, many reasons that he's endeared himself and become such a fan favorite. In addition to playing so great, I mean, he plays through the broken finger in the Miami game and kind of winks at Kubiak when Kubiak says, hey, are you ready to go? So, yeah, that really was an awesome part of this game. Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball and some of these guys coming out. C.J. Spiller is a name that Texans fans, the fans, have said, we would love it if he fell to us. Is he that highly rated? What do you see Spiller doing? And just kind of break him down.
Well, I think Chris Johnson made him a lot of money because they were similar players coming out with that rare speed.
Time out. Is that going to be a dangerous thing for a lot of teams that maybe see some guys who are fast that aren't quite that durable?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the durability is the issue. You nailed it right on the head there. But it is, you know, it's a phrase, copycat league, but it's true. Teams are. They see somebody that makes a decision and it works, and they're going to try and copy it and do the same thing. And I think, you know, for Texans fans, I don't think you have to worry about it because I think Spiller will probably be gone by the time you pick.
Gotcha. So he's one of those guys that probably will not fall. Another guy we've heard, going back to the defense, that, you know, people cross their fingers about falling is Hayden from Florida, the corner. Do you see that even happening, getting down to 20?
Well, if he fails the physical and runs 4.6, then you guys will have a shot. But short of that happening, I wouldn't be crossing my fingers.
Gotcha. So you're saying there's a possibility.
Lloyd Christmas thinks there's a possibility.
Well, you were a scout. What do you think, how is the Texans personnel department viewed around the rest of the league? What sort of things do they have going for them?
I think they've done a tremendous job of accumulating a lot of young talent. And anytime you've had two rookie of the years in the, you know, what, the last 7-8 years, you're doing something right. You're finding impact players. And I think that's, you know, along with the draft, you want to get, you know, the quantity. You need to get a lot of players, but it's also about that quality. And they've done an excellent job of getting the premier players. And when you get players of the year and you're sending guys to the Pro Bowl, it tells you you're doing something right.
Good stuff. We're ping-ponging around here. But a guy that a lot of people have focused on and he's tantalizing is Dexter McCluster. You might get that Chris Johnson comparison, but what do you think of him?
I like him better as a receiver. I think he's going to be a perfect slot receiver. He showed at the Senior Bowl when they put him out there wide out for the one-on-one drills, people can't get a hand on him. He's too quick. Now, I don't think he's going to hold up outside. He's not big enough, but you're talking about a league where third down is the most important down in football, and you can be in 3rd and 6 and put him in the slot. It's going to be a tough cover for a lot of people. So I think that probably puts his value in the second round range, and I think he's a winner. He's tough. He's for somebody that's really undersized, he's aggressive, tough, feisty guy, and I think somebody's going to get a good player.
Yeah, and as he said, he never got injured in the SEC. He got injured his freshman year in 2006 with a shoulder injury, and he went the rest of the way playing all over the place in that Wildcat, Wild Rebel formation. Well, Daniel, we really appreciate the time. It sure was a lot of fun. We follow you on the web. Again, it's Daniel Jeremiah at movethesticks.com. Hey, good luck to you.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.